This is KERA News. On a recent episode of Think, guest host Courtney Collins spoke with Georgetown Law Professor Peter Edelman about how something as simple as more expensive citations has led to the criminalization of poverty.
The courts around the country started making the fines bigger and bigger and adding to them so-called fees, but they were just more money for one thing or another, you know, maybe the courthouse library. That was a way to get revenue to run the courts and in many cases to run whole cities, other kinds of things that have nothing to do with the courts. And so it's become a very big deal and business. Something on the order of 10 million people at any given time owe a lot of money that they can't pay. We didn't know really until Ferguson, Missouri. After the killing of Michael Brown there, the Department of Justice came in and they discovered that there was a debtor's prison there in that city.
Can you kind of walk me through what could happen when a low-income person gets like a $250 ticket, for example, and they just don't have that money to pay?
The big one is taking away people's driver's licenses. And that really works well because people have to drive. And so they take a chance and they get hit again. And what they owe as a consequence of being hit one time after another, there are more tickets for that. But also there's interest and there's other fees and so on and so on. It just mounts. I wrote about a truck driver in Los Angeles who he needed his truck because that's what he does. And he lost that. And in fact, he lost his wife and he lost his house. And it just it went up and up and up. And he owed $5,000 before finally he got some help and got out from it. But it was a long, long time.
Money bail, obviously, is a really big problem for low-income people accused of crimes. Why is bonding out, even with the help of a bail bondsman, not always an option for people?
One of the ways that the person gets stuck and then is stuck for maybe forever is that on some very minor thing, the judge says you have to come up with $500. A couple different things happen. I mean, the main thing is if you can't pay $500, guess what? The way you get out is you say, I'm guilty, when you're not. And that leads to a payment plan because you said you're guilty. The whole bail system is much, much bigger than that. On any given day, there are 700,000 people who are in jails around the United States, and 450,000 of those people are guilty of nothing. They haven't been brought to trial, and the point is that they're there because of bail that they can't pay. And as I said, the only way they can get out is to plead guilty or else wait until the thing comes up, which can be months or you can, you know, terrible things can happen in your family, job, all kinds of things. So that's why people say, well, I did do it and why I got into the payment plan.
There are, you could say, two reasons that people don't pay child support. Either they can't pay it or they don't want to pay it. Is the court system supposed to distinguish between the two?
Yes, it should. Obviously, we all agree. If somebody doesn't pay the child support and they can, they're the worst. They're bottom feeders. If they can pay, they should go to jail. Then you have the person who can't. And it just makes it worse to throw them in jail. They can't do anything about finding the money if you throw them in jail and you can't possibly pay. So that's a really difficult thing that we have, and we have to be very careful about it because we really should collect every time we can.